Today, we begin a new sermon series called On the Water for the next few weeks in August. And our first scripture reading in the series is from the Old Testament, from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. It's from what we call 2nd Isaiah. Hear now the word of the Lord. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Water. Some of us love the beach, some the lake. Our family is partial to the mountains, and one of our all-time favorite things to do is to hike along trails with waterfalls. The sights and sounds are life-giving. The water is visually refreshing. The cool mist is restorative. We love the sounds of the babbling brook, the rush of the rapid river, and the deep, thunderous roar of a waterfall like Niagara or like Linville Gorge right here in North Carolina. When our kids were young, we spent a ton of time along the Blue Ridge Parkway. There were so many options for hiking and camping along the creeks and streams. Water certainly figures in prominently with our scripture today. I can't help but think that this is a favorite go-to scripture for many of us. I bet if we did a show of hands, most every hand would go up. We might also get a strong show of hands if we ask if any of us ever feel overwhelmed and in need of a good word like this. We turn to this scripture, relying on it for comfort and assurance, relying on its power in our lives for something deep in our spirit connects with it, hearing that God is with us, that God can be trusted to provide and care for us, carrying us through the difficult times. Now, we may remember that this word of comfort does not just appear out of nowhere. It does not just come out of nowhere or happen apart from a much larger story. In fact, as we like to say, there is a fullness here. What gives rise to this word is that the absolute unthinkable has happened. Siege has been laid to Jerusalem, the city's destroyed, so is the temple, and this is the place where God is believed to dwell. This turn of events for the people of Israel is simply unimaginable. And if that is not enough, then it gets worse. The people are carted away, taken from their homeland. They are taken to Babylon to endure a long season of exile. that the people say is a consequence of their sin and disobedience. In the life and faith of Israel, the exile is second only in importance to God's deliverance in the Exodus as Moses leads the people out of slavery from Egypt. Today, we skip all the devastating backstory of the events that lead to the exile, and we get straight to the good stuff. When restoration has finally come, and God says, the penalty is paid, your term has been served, the time has come for you to come home, and I will be with you on this journey. I will be with you, and I will protect you. This word of comfort that we heard today is God's redemptive response to a people who fear everything important. Everything that they believe in their life and faith has been lost forever. Has God abandoned us? Are we a people without God's presence or any hope for the future? Is exile forever? How long, O Lord? Perhaps we have seasons like this where we feel like we are in some form of exile, abandoned, and we long to come home to the familiar and the way things were, and yet the way things were no longer even exist. All of us can feel down and discouraged. We can reach new lows. We can lose trust, especially when it seems like we are cut off from anything that makes sense to us. Some events are so big, things that we experience, that we may question and doubt, saying, how could a good God allow this? Can this even be happening? We find ourselves in desperate need of God's presence and comfort, navigating deep and troubling waters. And what starts out as a tiny tributary, no more than a trickle, suddenly becomes a torrential, raging river, and we feel completely overwhelmed. Any number of events or circumstances or relationship troubles can make us feel this way. Yet today's scripture offers assurance. This scripture invites us to look beyond ourselves and our circumstances, focusing on God's character, God's fidelity and faithfulness, God's everlasting covenant and protection. It calls us to take hold tightly to what is really true in spite of what circumstances suggest. Now, no doubt, it is an act of faith to read it this way. These verses and the surrounding chapters in Isaiah, what we call 2 Isaiah, offer assurance, and it calls us to hear anew the fulfillment of God's salvation. It proclaims the vastness of God's reach. It's all-encompassing, cosmic in scope, God's salvation for us and all of creation. What a wonderful word to hear. Covenant and blessing are extended to all who will receive. It's not just for this one people. It's for all who will receive. For the former things have passed, and God is doing a new thing. Another reason I think that this word resonates so well with us and is a go-to scripture for many people is that it does not attempt to deny the literal laws of nature, nor does it suggest that we are immune from suffering. We know water and fire can have devastating impact, loss of life and property, and we don't have to look very far. We have seen this in grand measure in Texas and western North Carolina and right here in the Triangle with recent storms. I think the Eno River crested 2 to 3 feet above all-time previous records. Homes, lives, businesses, infrastructure, schools were damaged or destroyed. What the beauty and poetry of this scripture offers is assurance that in every storm, God is with us, offering strength and hope and peace, carrying us through to the other side. Perhaps not quite in the way we may envision or hope, but it does assure us that God is with us and God will see us through, and that God has the last word. The protection and restoration is assured. And to help impress this truth upon us, to prove that it's not just some empty platitude, we hear echoes of other events of how God has been at work for good. Other times God has provided in the course of creation and salvation history, like when God's Spirit hovers over the waters of creation and God brings order out of chaos. Or as God saves a remnant from the flood and establishes covenant with Noah. This scripture is meant to reassure by recalling the Exodus, the central and defining moment for Israel as God provides deliverance through parting the waters of the Red Sea. Hopefully, in our Christian tradition, it also brings to mind the baptismal waters that refresh and cleanse, that give us new hope and life and belonging. For in the gift of God's baptism, we also hear, "Do not fear. You are mine. I have redeemed you." I imagine we know this, but without displacing the original context of people and particularity of place, the church turns to these verses and the surrounding chapters to help interpret the life and death and resurrection of Messiah, and to help interpret our relationship with God, and to help proclaim God's faithfulness with us in that dynamic relationship. For in it, we see promise and fulfillment of God's only Son, especially in the two most significant times of our Christian year, at Advent and Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us, as we anticipate and celebrate God with us. And then in the Passion narratives, as water and blood flow from our Savior's side, as our holy God reigns upon the cross. God's saving love in Christ offers the ultimate assurance, restoration, and protection. God's saving love in Christ triumphs over all that seeks to overwhelm us, even amidst those most troubling and turbulent waters. As we continue to sit with this scripture, receiving its goodness and grace, let us also remember to share this word of assurance with others in their time of need. Hear again the word of the Lord. "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Thanks be to God. Amen.